It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's the Red October Pep Rally on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz. Ike, are you feeling it, my friend?
I'm feeling great, Spike. Jackie Baseball, 48 hours away, my brother.
Yep.
Holla at your boy.
Counting down the seconds. 4:08 on Saturday, cannot get here fast enough. And I would like to officially announce.
Yeah.
I'm over yesterday.
Yeah!
There you go.
No longer nervous. No, well, nervous, yes. Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
No,
you
I'm
sprung
good.
That on us.
I'm good. I'm good. I had to talk my way out of it yesterday.
Okay.
I had to get it all out there.
Okay.
And I feel good now. I feel good. I'm ready for Red October.
I can appreciate that. I'm going to, because I didn't want to deal with that today
no,
with you
no, no.
today. Thank
no.
you. I can appreciate
and
that.
And you know what? I don't think he's lying. I don't think he's
oh,
lying.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, we know where the kid's heart is at. He wants this team to win. He bleeds for the Phillies, man.
Well, and
we know that. That's never a question.
We found out last night who the real baseball guy on the show is, as Ike promised us that the Milwaukee Brewers would win the game last night.
Yeah.
Both Jack and I were like, nah, they're dead, man. Nah, they're dead. And who came through? That is the Milwaukee Brewers. So at the very least, we get both teams maybe having to wear out their bullpen a little bit. We get a third game.
We get a game four starter in game one versus Zach Wheeler.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Which is going to make those mighty Mets even easier to take out because they win today.
And
so,
so you're predicting a Mets win today?
Yeah, the Mets win today.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Mets win today. We'll take on the Mets tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I mean, Saturday at 4.
And I sort of changed a little bit, too, in that I went from I said yesterday, playing the Mets is like this high-ceiling, low-floor thing. Mm-hmm. It would feel awful to lose to the Mets, but it would feel great to beat the Mets. Now I kind of want to, like, I kind of want to beat them.
Yeah.
I kind of want all the people I used to work with at Fan to feel horrible.
Yeah.
I want to end positive Tommy Lugauer. I want to end Sal Licata. I want to end Boomer and Gio. I want all that to be over.
Yeah.
So we have an enormous show today. Enormous show for the Red October Pep Rally here at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, presented by Budweiser. 2:30, Fransky in L.A. will join us right here at Chickies and Pete's. That's awesome. Then 3 o'clock, there were some whispers, maybe from Jack. He was worried that Bryce Harper wouldn't come on the show anymore. But we are getting rid of those worries today as Bryce Harper joins us on the show. Not here at Chickies, he'll be on the phone. But Bryce Harper joins us on the show at 3 o'clock. And then, to take the temperature on the Mets fan at 4:30 today, Sal Licata of WFAN, a true Mets fan, he will join us at 4:30. And all show long, we will have music from the Phillies Clubhouse mix. The Armentani brothers, local DJ guys, they did the whole mix for Stubby for the locker room clubhouse celebration, and we'll have music all day.
Yeah, sound like it should be a fun day. I was listening earlier. It's already been a great day.
You
had the Phillies owner on the morning show. That was awesome hearing John Middleton. I tell you, man, he gets me fired up.
Oh, he does. He wants to win pretty badly.
Yeah, yes. And I'm sure as a player, you want to win for him.
And
like, you know, he's one of those owners that the players want to go out and play for.
It seemed like they did. In the clubhouse, it seemed like they did. And announced today, this morning, on WIP, announced by John Middleton, and he who should not be named, is that there is a new deal to keep the Phillies on WIP, a multi-year deal. So we are the home of the Phillies. We should be the home of the Phillies. We will be the home of the Phillies, living and breathing with you every single day with Fransky in L.A. during the games, and Stocker, of course.
Excited about that, man. The partnership with the big dogs running with the big dogs. I mean, come on, man.
Major Leagues.
Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Phillies, WIP. I mean, it's big dogs running with the big dogs. Like I tweeted out earlier, this is where the Phillies belong. So I was certainly happy to hear about the extended partnership, and hopefully it goes until eternity as far as I'm concerned. But it's great to have them on board for the foreseeable future, and it's a great partnership. And listen, we live for this time of the year.
Yes, sir.
We live for this time of the year. Red October. No one does it better than the Phillies and WIP.
So here's how I want to start the show, and it's a question I want to ask you, Ike, because
yes.
I have heard a sense of urgency from John Middleton, sense of urgency from fans, sense of urgency from hosts. Do the Phillies really, like, have to win it this year? Is this a year that they have to come away with a World Series championship?
Yeah. And I really believe that. There's no hedging in that for me. And it's not as if, well, if they don't win it, they're going to blow the team up and this person is leaving, this person is getting traded. That's not where I'm coming from. But when you're looking at a window that you have with this type of talent playing basically in the prime of their career, some of them maybe their prime is a little bit past them, but they still got a lot of some good baseball left in them. You got to take advantage of that right now. You just do. You never know what next year is going to bring you. Injuries happen all the time. So anything can derail what looks like a promising future. When you're in the moment, you need to seize the moment and take advantage of it. And I look at this year and I look at the landscape of Major League Baseball, and I don't frown upon it because we don't have some dominant team that is David trying to chase down Goliath. I'm glad that it's not that. And I don't mind the parity that's there in Major League Baseball. I believe even with there being parity and there being some advantages we have over several of the teams and their disadvantages that we have where teams are a little bit better, I like the fact that we have the grit. I like the fact that we are experienced, we're seasoned, we have a couple of guys that knows what it's like to win a World Series title in Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber. Is there anywhere I'm forgetting other than those two that's won a World Series?
Schwarber won one.
Yeah, Schwarber and Turner.
I believe that's it.
Okay. Anyway, now back to my rant.
Yep.
We got those things going for us, and this team is motivated. There's something about being driven by, I don't want to use the word necessarily failure, but not completing a mission. And I think they've been on that mission the last 2 years, and they've seen how close they've gotten, and they feel like they've left something on the table. They've been looking forward to getting back to this moment, this time of the year. I like our intangibles going into the playoffs and everything that surrounds us as a team than I do to any other team.
Does this have to be the year for the Phillies? 215-592-9494. Fritz, what is your temperature on that?
It has to be the year. Like, it has to be the year. And I was on this in May saying, hurry up and get me to October because it's all that really mattered to me. And, you know, Ike brought it up, but to echo the sentiment, you know, they only have so many shots at this. If you want to go back in history, 76, 77, 78, 79, they didn't make the playoffs, but 80, like, this feels like the culminating moment for this team. I don't know how many years you're going to get a 2.5 ERA year out of Wheeler.
Right.
Most years, most likely. But he's had a great year. He could win the Cy Young. I hope he does. Nola's had a really good year. Chris Sanchez, you feel good about those three. Ranger, you hope that he flips a switch, postseason rolls around, and you get the Ranger you had the last couple of years. But really the core of this team and what happened last year and how they didn't go and shake up the core, and they doubled down on these guys. They doubled down and said, we believe the inner fire that happened last year after losing game 6 and 7 should be enough to fuel you, and they're going to be given this opportunity. Ike said they probably won't, they're not going to change a lot of the roster in the offseason, maybe, but there's going to be deeper conversations about could they make a different move here? Do they have the right manager? Like, there's going to be
That's
those
fair.
Kind
yeah.
of conversations that are
yeah.
going to happen, and I would like to avoid that because I like these guys and I want them to get it done. But this has to be the year. The Braves aren't going to be down forever. The Dodgers, they're going to get their pitching staff in order at some time. It's not this year. Padres are really good. But other than that, it's right there for the taking. And in the AL, the Orioles are already knocked out. I mean, I remember when they lost the Orioles spike, you were freaking out. Like, how are we supposed to beat that team? And they're done. They're out. It's Yankees on that side. It's not the same kind of caliber of league that it's been. It has to be the year, and it's turned now into World Series or bust for me.
215-592-9494. Does this have to be the year for the Phillies? So I'm going to present the other side because I don't actually agree. I agree.
Come on, Spike.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you've said in terms of it feels like the culmination, the momentum, the get to the World Series and then win the division. And I agree with you for the age of a lot of the core players. But I just don't think I don't think baseball is built that way, and I don't think this organization wants to be built that way. And I think the Phillies made a mistake toward the end of the last run, thinking, hey, we need to do this now. And if we don't, then who knows when we're getting another chance. And you sort of set yourself up for making sure that you don't have a lot of chances when you think about it that way. So I agree with you on the age of the players. I agree with you the potential changes. I agree with all of those things. But the same reason where you look around the league and say, hey, nobody's that great, is the same reason why I look around the league and say, we're one of those teams. And I think it's a good team, absolutely. But I think that this team and this organization needs to be built in a way where every single year you have a shot. You have a down year here and there, but the good organizations in baseball, every year you have the shot. And I would wrap that in saying you don't give Bryce Harper a 13-year deal if 1 year has to be the year. You don't re-sign Zach Wheeler to a huge contract if this year has to be the year. You don't re-sign Aaron Nola to a big contract if it's got to be this year. You don't lock up Chris Sanchez for the future if it's got to be this year. You don't go to the trade deadline and not mortgage it for Garrett Crochet or whatever you want to do if it's got to be this year. I agree with you. It would feel great this year. The momentum, the story, the narrative of it all feels great if it's this year. But I personally don't feel like if this team doesn't do it this year, then oh no, you know, we may fall off a ledge or we may never have another chance at it. I think I sort of trust that the organization thinks about it in a different way, and I'm a little more confident than moving forward. We will do the things that are necessary to be competitors every year.
Yeah, here's where I'll push back on that. I'm not so sure the organization doesn't feel this way, that it has to be this year. When I mentioned in my initial little monologue there was that the premise behind my thinking of them having to win this year wasn't necessarily they were going to break up the team.
Sure.
I misspoke because, quite frankly, Spike, this isn't a 1 year, you got to win it this year. This is a third year. You were in the World Series up 2-1 2 years ago, and we gave you a pass. It didn't have to be done that year. Last year, you were up 3-2 coming back home for games 6 and 7 with a chance to get back to the World Series, and they didn't do it. That's strike two. You don't take care of business this year when you're the best team top to bottom. Starting rotation, bullpen, enough solid star power in your lineup. I think there are more boxes to get checked for the Phillies if you go through all the major categories that you need to win a World Series than there is for any other team. If not now, then when? And I say that because who knows? John Middleton's not going to be happy. Especially if they don't get to the World Series. If they happen to lose in this series coming up, or the next one, maybe the Dodgers if they're playing, or the Padres, maybe losing to them in 6 or 7 feels a little more acceptable. I don't know. But losing in this round, John Middleton's not going to be happy. And I'd be surprised if there aren't changes, whether it's the manager or whether it's guys that didn't get the job done that you have to move on from. We know Turner and Harper isn't going anywhere. Schwarber probably isn't either. But some other guys?
JT, Casty.
Yeah, Casty, Stott, Bone, like some other guys? Like I don't know. I don't know. I would imagine John Middleton would be highly disappointed this team coming up short. I don't think he's looking at it like, oh, don't worry, we got more years to try to win it. You guys don't have to win it this year. And that'll be evident by what he does if they don't win.
If they make big moves. And
yes. Right. Yeah, that'll let you know that, no, it's time to shake something up. Because, again, this is the third bite at the apple. This is the third bite of the apple. Now, it's not their first go-round. This is number three.
215-592-9494. Does this have to be the year for the Phillies? Oh, no, go ahead.
Sorry,
John.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's they're starting to feel like your Eagles team, Ike.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys got there.
It was okay when we lost to the Rams.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was okay when you lost to the Rams. Lost to the Bucks, not okay.
That was not okay.
Panthers, that was a...
It was almost a city burnt down.
Yeah.
We needed to go get T.O. to save everything.
And maybe Soto's T.O., but it doesn't mean that there wasn't the expectation for the 0-2 and 0-3 Eagles to get the job done. And these guys, I just think they've earned it. And it would be a shame to have to go and make a move to the core because I think we've really fallen in love with these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they felt like our guys even though they brought from the outside.
We watched them, yeah.
But it's just the reality of the sport where it's not we're not playing in Arizona, some horrible city like that. We're not playing in
– It's a state.
It's a state, but, whatever. You get the point.
Yeah. Let me throw this out there.
Yeah.
You know, the way the Eagles are playing right now.
Need them.
Yeah, we kind of need it.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
We're talking about championship aspirations. Everybody's putting their faith in the Phillies right now. Now, the Eagles could change that in a month or two, but right now, this is truly the team that we feel like has a legitimate chance to bring a championship back to Philadelphia.
You know, on some level, we need it as much as they do.
Yes.
We need it as much as they do.
Yes.
All right. 215-592-9494. Does this have to be the year for the Phillies? Starting us off, the Kenny Lofton of the WIP Afternoon Show, Corey in Columbus here on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Do this. Man, first of all, Spike, what is this? This the pep rally?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to need you to start giving me your point first because Buzzkill, Buzz Wilson, you close to taking that nickname away. Don't give me all the reasons of why we don't got to win. This the pep rally. We want the reasons why we going to win because the question should be, will the Phillies win the World Series this year? Not should they. Do they have to? No. I'm changing the topic. Lead off hitter.
Your leadoff hitter, not host.
Will the series? Will we win the world? Yes, we will. We got man, the real Michael Jordan. Please stand up.
Stop comparing athletes to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He on the call at 3 p.m. Hey, man, Michael Jordan, stand up. We need you, baby. And he going to deliver. We got Turner. We've been waiting for this moment, man. I told you all season. We got bored. Everybody was panicking. Oh, my God, is this the 2023 Eagles? He's going to make a show. Now, these boys is ready. They hungry. Lead off hitter, Kyle Schwarber. The Ohio legend going to come through. My boy Bryson Stott, we all ready. The Cy Young winner, he ready for game one. And what we got? Why we keep having people on the show?
We might play them. Stop
it. The Mets ain't win yet. The Mets could be going home tonight. We ain't going to be giving them no automatic bid to play us. It ain't happening, baby. We might be having a reunion. You never know. You never know. Reese Hoskins could be coming back to Philly, and we're going to send his ass back home.
I mean, truly, the real reason is there's nobody interesting to talk to in Milwaukee. So,
hey, this going to be the year.
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
I would love to get Bob Uecker.
Not a bad call.
That would be great.
Love to talk to Bob Uecker.
That would be great. I can't yell at Bob Uecker like I can
yell
at Sal, though.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you're full of it.
Yeah. You loser.
Loser. Just a bit outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it done.
All right.
We're going to have rings at the end of the season. And you know what? You talking about, is this the beginning of a dynasty, baby? Because we're going to win it again next year, too.
All right.
Oh, Lord. Can we get one first?
With Soto.
Easy.
With Soto.
Okay.
Phillies, baby.
All right. Now, if it's the beginning of a dynasty, then you definitely don't have to win it this year. You got a dynasty in front of you. Come on. 215-592-9494. Brandon at King of Prussia. You're on WIP. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Hey, brother.
Listen, Zach Fritz, you're not staging phone calls anymore?
Well, I'm in person
up,
now.
You're moving up in the world.
We're at Chickies. Not yet. He's still got to answer the phone calls when we're in the studio.
Hey, appreciate the compliment.
Yeah.
I guess it was a compliment, a little bit sly. Listen, I got Big Aaron calling yesterday. I know Big Aaron. First of all, he's a short old man. He's not really Big Aaron. I know he's listening right now.
Wow.
This softness that's coming out of the radio waves talking about I'm scared of the New York Mets is ridiculous, okay? If we're going to win a world, if we get shut out in the first round, we don't deserve none of that, okay? We shouldn't be looking at, oh, I'm scared of the fans taking over Citizens Bank Park. None of that. If we get knocked out by the New York Mets and not the Brewers in the first round, we don't belong there anyway. Listen, in the last 30 years, you got two championships brought to this city. It's ridiculous. The expectations are high, and of course, the expectations are to win a World Series this October. Happy Red October to everybody. I love you guys. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, thank you, Brad.
All righty.
My only question for B would have been, did he break out his Tampa Bay Bucks jersey last week
when
the Bucks beat the
Eagles? You know he did.
Yep.
He did.
Yeah.
Wait, for who?
He's a Bucks
Brandon.
Fan.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Well, you know he did.
He brought up, we talked about the being scared of the Mets thing yesterday. I would say this, and I would say this for sure. I'm over that part of it. And I just needed to see them lose. Honestly, I just needed to see them lose in the playoffs to let it know it was possible. And the joy of beating a Mets team is way more exciting. I would love to beat the Brewers. You know, you beat whoever you beat, you win the World Series.
Yes.
But I kind of want 3,000 Mets fans in Citizens Bank Park when the Phillies win that game. You know, being
would you root for it? Not necessarily root. I don't like to say root. Because root means you're doing something outwardly.
Yeah.
But Cowboys-Eagles.
Yeah.
Playoff game.
Yeah.
If I'm on a matchup, that's a matchup I want. As long as it's here.
The juice.
I don't want to go there, but as long as the matchup is here.
Sure. The juice for a Mets-Phillies series is so much higher than the juice for a Brewers series.
Yes.
And the excitement over that. And the great part of sports is the anxiety of losing to whoever you're playing. And I kind of like the anxiety of potentially losing to the Mets, because beating the Mets would feel, we're not losers. We want to win the World Series. But beating the Mets would feel particularly good.
It would feel like a big brother moment.
Yes.
Yeah, well, listen, and we are, there is a movement that's starting to, we got to impose our will on this New York nonsense. I mean, started in the playoffs last year with the Sixers and the Knicks.
Yep.
That was embarrassing. From that point forward, we ought to be on a mission to embarrass them. And we're going to have to deal with the Knicks all year and possibly in the playoffs too with that squad.
There's going to be a lot with that.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot going on with the Sixers and the Knicks, Philadelphia, New York. Might as well add this to it.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, we can't count on the Giants.
No, we surely can't. No, we surely can't.
Jets, Eagles, Super Bowl?
Nah.
No?
Well,
actually, he is one of my partners.
I know, yes. You took a lot. I still want the Brewers. You want to know why?
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 Because every team that's beat them in the postseason has made the World Series.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, and you need to make up for your Rhys Hoskins wrongness, too. You quit the show.
Well, he definitely won't be getting a standing ovation this time.
No, he will not.
Yeah, he needs to worry about hitting the baseball. I believe he's, 0 for 7 to start the Wild
Card. Don't jinx it. All right.
Just saying.
Does this have to be the year for the Phillies?
Come
215-592-9494. Don't do that to me.
It's got to be the year, man.
All right.
It has to be.
Coming up next, we will be joined right here at Chickies and Pete's with our friends Fransky in L.A. Well, I don't know if I can say friends. Are they friends?
Sure.
They're friends of yours.
Of
you didn't even recognize Fransky that one time.
Yeah, it's one of those moments I think I'll never live down.
No. Yeah. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally, presented by Budweiser. Enjoy ice-cold Budweiser during all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Halloween's coming. Winter is coming. And, you know, it means a lot of stuff, but it means something for your pets. Your pets need Halloween costumes. I put our dogs in Halloween costumes. Your pets need a winter coat. Well, our new dog is from Louisiana, so she definitely needs a winter coat. If you need that stuff, Dogs and Cats Rule is where you want to go. That is your only pet store you're going to need. Whether it's food, you go to Dogs and Cats Rule. Whether it is, you know, coats and Halloween costume, Dogs and Cats Rule. Supplements, Dogs and Cats Rule. Toys, Dogs and Cats Rule. And here is the difference between them and every other pet store you're going to walk into. George Perenni is the lead dog at Dogs and Cats Rule, and he has made sure that the staff at every single one of the locations, and there are 7 of them, are going to be able to answer any question you have. And some of them are difficult, especially about pet food. You know, my dog is this age, has this allergy, you know, so on and so forth. And you start searching that on the internet, you get confused, but the staff at Dogs and Cats Rule is prepared. I know it because I've asked those questions and they've answered them for me. Seven locations: Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, Bluebell in PA, Pennington and Princeton in New Jersey. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Shop small, shop local, shop family.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Swing and a drive, right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins by near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Live from Chickies and Peas in South Philly for the Red October Rally presented by Budweiser. Enjoy ice-cold Budweiser during all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Peas. Thanks to the Armentani brothers for giving us their clubhouse celebration music, which we'll be using today. Joining us on the show, a couple of guys who are going to have to deal with us for several more years. Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. You cannot escape us now.
Goes both ways, pal.
Yeah. First of all, it's great to have the Phillies back on WIP for a multi-year deal, but also with you guys specifically, you know, you can just tell when a broadcast team not only has that bond with each other, but has it with the fans and with everyone who listens, and you guys have that, and it's special, and we're lucky to have you guys on. So exciting news for us.
There?
Yeah, that's all right. It's not like you two are the most warm and fuzzy, so I get it. So, we were talking at the beginning of the show about this sense of urgency that at least is felt, forgetting about the team themselves feeling it, but around. You know, the fans feel it. Seems like the owner feels it because the team has been so close the last couple of years. Do you feel that with this particular year, with this particular team, that they get it done this year?
I don't know that I feel any different this year than I did the other years. To be honest with you, I feel like this particular playoff is wide open. I think the Phillies are a better team than most. I think they are a better team than they were last year. I think they're a better team than they were the year before that. Does that mean they'll go as far? No. Does it mean they can? Yes. I mean, I think we've seen already what the baseball playoffs look like. And they can be over really, really quickly. Ask the Orioles, ask the Astros, ask the Orioles 2 years running.
Yeah.
Hopefully ask the Mets.
Yeah,
tonight.
I mean, yeah. It can be over really quickly. So I think they're a better team now than they were a year ago. I wholeheartedly believe that. I believe that on a number of different fronts. But does that mean they win? Not necessarily.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I definitely thought that the first half. The one thing about this year is I don't think any team's afraid of another team, but I don't think any team's confident going against any other team. I think it's very, to me, very evenly balanced right now. A lot of parity, and I think, you know, every team has some flaws. And every team has some strength, and I can't look at it and say this team is better than that team on pay, period. You know, it's just whoever plays the best, cleanest games, and I think pitching and defense has become a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's why I sort of like the Phillies this postseason. I like the seasoning of our pitching staff. I think the bullpen is stronger than it's been in the last couple of postseasons that they've gone in. And with our third starter this year, whether it's Nola who goes three or Sanchez who goes three, I think that 1-3 may be the best out there, or at least it's equal to whoever is the best out there. The bats, we know, they have to hit, they have to have timely hitting, right? They're not going to be hot through the entire postseason, but they certainly need to hit when they have runners in scoring position and even late in the game. But I just feel like that pitching staff, man, particularly with Wheeler and those other two guys, if we can get six plus out of them, I like our chances.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you get in the playoffs, it's pitching, it's defense. I think some small ball, some bunting, moving runners, that type of stuff. And I think you have to – I don't think you can sit back and wait for the three-run home run.
Right.
I think you have to go out there and make things happen. You run the bases, go first to third when you have the opportunity. and that type of thing. And I think the Phillies are certainly capable of doing all that.
That's interesting, L.A., when you talk about that style of play. And we certainly know it's been needed. I think about those damn Diamondbacks last year, and they did it to a T. It's not necessarily our identity as a lineup, but recognizing that that is something that needs to be implemented in the postseason. Do you think the players are willing to accept that and embrace that if need be? Meaning, if you need to hit the ball to the right side of the field to get the runner over to third, as opposed to trying to hit the 3-1 home run, you think the players are willing to embrace that and accept that?
I hope so.
I think as you see it, there's so much evidence. Like, watch the Mets the last two nights.
Yeah.
And how many base hits the other way did they have? And, again, they're a team that lives by, you know, by hitting home runs. They hit a lot of home runs, and they do a lot of it, but they haven't really done it in the two games in Milwaukee. But they've been able to score some runs because they're willing to, you know, take the ball the other way. Now, the big hit, the big home run that, you know, clears the bases, puts three on the board, those are great, and they will come in due time for this Phillies team. But I agree that, I mean, just look at Wheeler. Like, what is it, 11 starts in a row of two runs or less? Just all you need is three.
Get three runs. Yeah.
Just scratch it out somehow, and he will win you a game.
Especially
the
game.
The strikeouts. You got to cut down on. You have to put the ball in play.
Well, and especially in game one, because we're going to be facing the fourth starter of whoever's out there. Like, that's a game that you have to win. You have Wheeler on the mound versus whoever's number four.
I also think the fact that stolen bases are happening more now because of the rule changes makes all of that so much more important, because you can advance a guy without putting the bat on the ball. So once you do that, you don't want to waste it. And they have guys on this team. You know, Stott can steal bases, Trey can steal bases, Rojas can steal bases, Marsh can steal bases. That sort of stuff, I think, and that chaos and the fact that I almost think that sort of stuff puts the other team back on their heels more than the home runs do.
Absolutely. I think so, too. And I think that's one thing that we saw with the Diamondbacks last year. I mean, just the guys running around the bases. Because if you have a guy going trying to steal second, you've got movement in the infield. Now there are holes opened up. Guys can, you know, punch the ball through or whatever. And then, I mean, all kinds of different stuff happens. I will say this, Trey, over the last 2 weeks of the season, I'm not saying he's got a whole bunch of stolen bases, but he looks more aggressive on the bases. He looks like he's a little more willing to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good sign, because I think they could really, really use that for him to get active on the bases and to try to take second base when he can.
And I know it's I don't know if you saw it, because I kind of felt it as well. His defense also looks a little bit better.
Absolutely.
I don't, like, when the ball was hit to him for the first 3.5 months of the year, I felt like it was a coin flip. And the last 2 weeks,
the way that he played in New York last weekend, that's the best series defensively he's had all year. And maybe in 2 years.
Yeah.
We can see it. The manager certainly noticed it. You know, whatever the reason behind it was, I don't know. But they all played really well defensively, and they're going to have to do that, because those little mistakes will kill you in the playoffs.
I think one thing LA joked about is, you know, feeling it the first couple of months, and then, you know, it was really kind of the story of two seasons for the Phillies. And I think the thing that is hard for me to figure out is the distinction between, was the second half of the year the way it was because they got out to such a big lead and they subconsciously took their foot off the gas? Or is that team that I saw in the first couple of months in the season, is that just not the team? You know, or did we get hot at the wrong time? And that sort of thing. Is this a sleeping giant, or is this the team that we've seen for the last few months? And that's the hard thing for me to wrap my head around when I'm trying to think about them playing the other teams in the National League. Because the first couple of months of the season, not only were we really good, it seemed like the rest of the National League stunk. And then all of a sudden the Mets woke up and the Padres woke up and the Dodgers, they're still injured, but have woken up to a certain degree. And the Brewers even waking up. And it's hard for me to figure out what team they actually are. That they are better than the last couple of years, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan. So that's one of the things that I think fans are trying to figure out, and I'm trying to figure out as I watch them. It's, who are they?
I think everybody's trying to figure that out. And hopefully not the players. I mean, Bo said you can't flip the switch. I don't know if maybe this team can, you know, with the time off, with what they're doing to try and get ready for this series this weekend. Maybe it happens, but I hope it does.
Do you think the time off ultimately plus or not?
I think it's a plus. I think they had a lot of guys that are banged up, that are hurting, that are playing hurt. There's a whole lot more going on, I'll bet, than we know about. And I think having those days off was huge for this team. I don't buy the days off eliminates the timing or whatever. If you're getting some swings in the, you know, in the cage and the machine and the sim games, whatever, that's fine. The Phillies were a better team than the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. They were a better team, and they played better. And it wasn't – that's just an excuse, the idea that they sat out for a few days. That's just an excuse. I think this team needed the time off. I think there were a lot of guys that needed the time off. And, you know, does it mean they're going to come out and put 9 runs on the board on Saturday? Not necessarily, but they could. I just think they needed the time off. There are a lot of guys that are really grinding to the finish.
And yeah, I think and Thompson, I think, too, like that Thompson, the way he was talking, was he wanted the wild card. He wanted the bye. But I think it speaks volumes that it wasn't like the biggest concern for him to be the first team, the number one team.
Right.
You know, he said he wanted to buy to get some rest for these guys. And that speaks volumes to me that it wasn't a matter of getting home field advantage. It was getting these guys rested where they can play home and road and be healthier.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. All signs coming out of the clubhouse is that it was needed. The players feel this way. It's not like the players are like, oh, man, I wish we could have kept going. I was in a groove. You know, wish we were playing. They more or less felt, whether it was mental fatigue or some physical ailments there, they needed a few days to sort of reset and get their minds right for this weekend. So, and they thought about this earlier in the season, coming into the season. And I love the fact that They took offense to the Braves sort of using that as an excuse last year. So they aren't looking for an excuse. They wanted this. They want these games at home. I'm excited for that. One question I would have, we were talking about defense a little bit ago. Johan Rojas, what do you think the strategy is with him? There's a lot of talk about when you pull him, if need be late. I think his defense is needed. All 27 outs. So that's the way I look at it. But I understand if there's a moment late in the game where you may need a big hit, do you think about it then? Or do you think Topper thinks about possibly pinch hitting for him?
He will think about pinch hitting for him. And I think he'll do it a little bit earlier than maybe he did in years past.
Okay.
Everybody remembers last year, and what was it, game 6 or 7, and he had that 7. Spot in game 7, yeah. I know Jack remembers.
Yeah,
he does.
Now his base is loaded in the fifth.
He thinks about it every day. Yeah.
I think that's a spot where he's far quicker to make a move. Multiple reasons for that. Number one being he has more options. Okay. You know, he has options to cover center field. He has options to cover center and left field at the same time. And a better option to hit, you know what I mean? Like a more accomplished hitter, pinch hitter, what have you. But I think he's going to – I think Rob is going to play Rojas a bit. Now, again, he missed the last 5 days or whatever it was with an illness, and I don't know how he's feeling or what his energy level is like. I mean, I don't know about the scrimmage. You know what I mean? I know he got out there and played or whatever, but that could play into it as well. How Hayes feels could play into it as well. And, of course, the matchup on the mound will ultimately determine how he wants to go about it.
How do you think he's going to handle the bullpen? Is it he's got a ranking of the in his head, here are the guys I trust most, and I'm going to use the guy I trust most in the highest leverage situation. So if that's the 7th inning, that's when I'm going to use him. Or if that's the 8th inning, that's when I'm going to use him versus the 9th. Or do you think he thinks of Estevez as the closer and, you know, and everybody else leads up to that?
Speaking for myself, I think he trusts Hoffman more than anybody.
Yep.
Hoffman and then maybe Strom, like a 1A. And I think they get deployed based on whatever part of the lineup they feel like they're most successful against or will be most successful against. And then whatever the case might be, if that leaves Estevez for the 9th, so be it. You know, that's just how I think it'll go.
I think he'll go to the bullpen earlier, you know, obviously than the regular season, with all of them except Wheeler. I'm not so convinced that he will go to the bullpen early with Wheeler on the mound, but with Sanchez and Nola, I believe wholeheartedly he'll definitely go earlier.
LA, from a bullpen perspective, do relievers like to know this is my spot, or is it everybody's ready all the time? Like, what's the comfort level to not exactly knowing what role you're going to be in?
I think because he's done it that way for 3 years, that I think the relievers are comfortable with being ready from the fourth, fifth inning on. When I was pitching, I certainly appreciated knowing that I was going to be pretty much the seventh or eighth inning, sometimes the sixth, but mostly the seventh and eighth. And mentally, you kind of set your structure, your routine, to start thinking about it mentally, trying to get ready for that time. Today, it's just be ready, right? I mean, it's basically be ready from the get-go. And I think at first it might have been a little tougher for maybe a veteran pitcher, but for the younger guys and at this level and the way he's done it, I think they're used to it. I think they're fine with wherever the situation calls. If they see a pitcher getting in trouble, in their head they're probably going, hey, that phone could ring for me any minute. And you start getting into it more mentally.
I think what they get is, prior to the game, they go through, whether it's Topper or Caleb or whoever it is, they will say, hey, Hoffy, these are the guys you're going to get.
Yeah.
Strom, this is the part of the lineup you're likely to get. So when that starts to develop, and again, it's partially, obviously there's a group effort of going on saying, hey, okay, we're coming around to that spot in the lineup again. Let's, get your head right on thinking you're going to be coming in. It might be the fifth inning. It might be the seventh inning, whatever. But I think they're in tune with the part of the lineup, especially those really high-leverage guys, with the part of the lineup that they're going to be asked to handle.
Where do you guys fall on the Sanchez or Nola game two thing? Are you worried that, Nola views it as a slight that he's pitching game three, or do you think they have a conversation with him saying, hey, we trust you in a big spot on the road. This is Chris Sanchez's first marquee start. We'd rather him be at home.
I mean, I think Nola's pretty unaffected by stuff like that. But I also think, he's a big-time guy. He probably still wants the ball in game two. And let's not forget, there's a lot of talk about Sanchez's home road splits this year. Take a look at Aaron Nola's home road splits in postseason play. He's way better at home than he is on the road. If you're gonna rely on one number, you should also look at the other number.
For sure.
And they kind of cancel each other out. I think the question they probably are still even going over in their mind is, what happens if you lose game one? Who do you want on the mound in game two? Do you want Sanchez or do you want Nola? Because you might lose game one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wheeler lost 2-1 a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. Yep. What I was also thinking about was game four with Ranger, you're going to have to use a lot of bullpen guys, most likely.
And I agree with Larry. So let's take the argument that you use Sanchez in game two and you're more likely to go to the pen and start matching up as you go through. You're going to use the pen more on that day, the game two day, than you are the game one day. So then you get the off day. You can burn anybody in the bullpen because you know you have a day off the next day. It allows the manager to kind of get after it and start using the bullpen. So there's a whole lot to sort of weigh there. I do think there's some matchup consideration to who they're playing, but I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to land, but the Sanchez ones in the regular season, the Nola ones in the postseason, they kind of fly in the face of each other.
I agree. I don't think Nola's affected. If Rob Thompson said, "Hey, Knowles, we want you for the third game. We want to get Sanchez a home start." Nola could probably come back and go, "Have you seen my record in the playoffs? How I do at home?
Do you want to see my splits?"
Yeah. But he's not that type. He's like, I think a lot of these guys are very unselfish in that respect, whether they're pitching or offense or deep, whatever. I think they're playing together as a team, and I don't think they take offense to what the decisions are made. If the manager thinks that's going to be the best thing for the team, I think they're all on board with it. And that's it's rare, I think, but it's but I think this is a very unselfish team. I really do. And one other thing I was going to mention too about saying he can't flip the switch. The one thing that I think coming out here, no matter what they've done to get ready or how they're trying to stay ready, is the fans elevate this team. Yeah. They do. They have. They always have. I think playing at home, the fans make a difference. And it's like I said the last couple of years, there's home field advantage and then there's Philly's home field advantage. And they're two different things. They really are. For the Philly fans elevate this team, and it has. It you know, I mean, last year maybe an aside, but I think they can flip. The fans help them flip the switch.
Yeah.
So last one. There's a lot of travel in baseball. It's a long season. You get on the plane. The absolute.
Wait, who well, this is for me,
the,
right?
Well,
this question
in the
must
play,
be for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Hold on, he went to Toronto.
Yeah,
and he went
come
to Florida.
On.
You gotta factor that in.
You sit down. Who would be the one person you wouldn't want to sit next to on the plane? Who's the most annoying person on the plane?
the same guy I'm sitting next to. That's terrible.
So expected.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Well, we appreciate you guys coming here. You've created so many memories that we remember the moment, but we also remember what it sounds like, and it's part of it, and that's because of what you do on the air. Hopefully, we have some more of those moments this off season.
Yeah, I hope so. And I mean, I can just speak for myself. I mean, we've been treated wonderfully by, you know, WIP and by Odyssey and the folks, you know, you guys and all the hosts and all the people that work behind the scenes. And I could not be more excited than we're staying right here on WIP yeah. for years to come.
All right. So, yes.
Well, it took you 23 Absolutely. Minutes to say that. You know,
yeah.
We gave you
I asked you that the first thing.
Yeah.
And you stared at me.
Yeah. You gave us nothing.
Just wait till 4 o'clock on Saturday. You want to see nothing? I'll give you nothing.
Awesome.
So coming up next, Bryce Harper joins the show. We haven't talked to Bryce since spring training. So, and thank you, Scott. Thank you, L.A. Bryce Harper joins us next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally presented by Budweiser. Enjoy an ice cold Budweiser during all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Swing and a drive, right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz
yes.
slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout.
Yeah.
Rollins ball
yeah.
near third. This game is over as the Phillies Woo. Strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally presented by Budweiser. Enjoy ice-cold Budweiser during all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. Thanks to the Armentani brothers for giving us their clubhouse celebration music, which we'll be using today. Joining us on the show, a couple of guys who are going to have to deal with us for several more years. Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson, you cannot escape us now.
Goes both ways, pal.
Yeah. First of all, it's great to have the Phillies back on WIP for a multi-year deal, but also with you guys specifically, you know, you can just tell when a broadcast team not only has that bond with each other, but has it with the fans and with everyone who listens, and you guys have that, and it's special, and we're lucky to have you guys on. So exciting news for us.
There
Nothing there? Yeah, that's all right. It's not like you two are the most warm and fuzzy, so I get it. So, we were talking at the beginning of the show about this sense of urgency that at least is felt, forgetting about the team themselves feeling it, but around, you know, the fans feel it, seems like the owner feels it because the team has been so close the last couple of years. Do you feel that with this particular year, with this particular team, that they get it done this year?
I don't know that I feel any different this year than I did the other years. To be honest with you, I feel like this particular playoff is wide open. I think the Phillies are a better team than most. I think they are a better team than they were last year. I think they're a better team than they were the year before that. Does that mean they'll go as far? No. Does it mean they can? Yes. I mean, I think we've seen already what the baseball playoffs look like. And they can be over really, really quickly. Ask the Orioles. Ask the Astros. Ask the Orioles 2 years running.
Yeah.
Hopefully ask the Mets.
Yeah,
tonight.
I mean, yeah. It can be over really quickly. So I think they're a better team now than they were a year ago. I wholeheartedly believe that. I believe that on a number of different fronts. But does that mean they win? Not necessarily.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I definitely thought that the first half. The one thing about this year is I don't think any team's afraid of another team, but I don't think any team's confident going against any other team. I think it's very, to me, very evenly balanced right now. A lot of parity, and I think, you know, every team has some flaws and every team has some strength, and I can't look at it and say this team is better than that team on paper, period. You know, it's just whoever plays the best, cleanest games, and I think pitching and defense has become a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's why I sort of like the Phillies this postseason. I like the seasoning of our pitching staff. I think the bullpen is stronger than it's been in the last couple of postseasons that they've gone in. And with our third starter this year, whether it's Nola who goes three or Sanchez who goes three, I think that 1-3 may be the best out there, or at least it's equal to whoever is the best out there. The bats, we know, they have to hit, they have to have timely hitting, right? They're not going to be hot through the entire postseason, but they certainly need to hit when they have runners in scoring position and even late in the game. But I just feel like that pitching staff, man, particularly with Wheeler and those other two guys, if we can get 6-plus out of them, I like our chances.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you get in the playoffs, it's pitching, it's defense. I think some small ball, some bunting, moving runners, that type of stuff. And I think you have to – I don't think you can sit back and wait for the 3-run home run.
Right.
I think you have to go out there and make things happen. You run the bases, go first to third when you have the opportunity, and that type of thing. And I think the Phillies are certainly capable of doing all that.
That's interesting, L.A., when you talk about that style of play. And we certainly know it's been needed. I think about those damn Diamondbacks last year, and they did it to a T. It's not necessarily our identity as a lineup, but recognizing that is something that needs to be implemented in the postseason. Do you think the players are willing to accept that and embrace that if need be? Meaning, if you need to hit the ball to the right side of the field to get the runner over to third, as opposed to trying to hit the 3-run home run, you think the players are willing to embrace that and accept that?
I hope so.
I think as you see it, there's so much evidence. Like, watch the Mets the last two nights.
Yeah.
And how many base hits the other way did they have? And, again, they're a team that lives by hitting home runs. They hit a lot of home runs, and they do a lot of it, but they haven't really done it in the two games in Milwaukee. But they've been able to score some runs because they're willing to, take the ball the other way. Now, the big hit, the big home run that, clears the bases, puts three on the board, those are great, and they will come in due time for this Phillies team. But I agree that, just look at Wheeler. Like, what is it, 11 starts in a row of 2 runs or less? Just all you need is three.
Get three runs. Yeah.
Just scratch it out somehow, and he will win you a game.
Especially
the
game.
The strikeouts. You got to cut down on. You have to put the ball in play.
Well, and especially in game one, because we're going to be facing the fourth starter of whoever's out there. Like, that's a game that you have to win. You have Wheeler on the mound versus whoever's number four.
I also think the fact that stolen bases are happening more now because of the rule changes makes all of that so much more important, because you can advance a guy without putting the bat on the ball. So once you do that, you don't want to waste it. And they have guys on this team. You know, Stott can steal bases. Trey can steal bases. Rojas can steal bases. Marsh can steal bases. That sort of stuff, I think, and that chaos and the fact that it – I almost think that that sort of stuff puts the other team back on their heels more than the home runs do.
Absolutely. I think so, too. And I think that's one thing that we saw with the Diamondbacks last year. I mean, just the guys running around the bases. Because if you have a guy going – trying to steal second, you've got movement in the infield. Now there are holes opened up. Guys can, you know, punch the ball through or whatever. And then, I mean, all kinds of different stuff happens. I will say this, Trey, over the last 2 weeks of the season, I'm not saying he's got a whole bunch of stolen bases, but he looks more aggressive on the bases. He looks like he's a little more willing to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good sign, because I think they could really, really use that for him to get active on the bases and to try to take second base when he can.
And I know it's – I don't know if you saw it, because I kind of felt it as well. His defense also looks a little bit better.
Absolutely.
I don't like when the balls hit to him for the first 3.5 months of the year, I felt like it was a coin flip. And the last 2 weeks,
the way that he played in New York last weekend, that's the best series defensively he's had all year. And maybe in 2 years.
Yeah.
We can see it. The manager certainly noticed it. Whatever the reason behind it was, I don't know. But they all played really well defensively, and they're going to have to do that, because those little mistakes will kill you in the playoffs.
I think one thing LA joked about is feeling it the first couple of months, and then it was really kind of the story of two seasons for the Phillies. And I think the thing that is hard for me to figure out is the distinction between. Was the second half of the year the way it was because they got out to such a big lead and they subconsciously took their foot off the gas? Or is that team that I saw in the first couple of months in the season, is that just not the team? Or did we get hot at the wrong time? And that sort of thing. Is this a sleeping giant, or is this the team that we've seen for the last few months? And that's the hard thing for me to wrap my head around when I'm trying to think about them playing the other teams in the National League. Because the first couple of months of the season, not only were we really good, it seemed like the rest of the National League stunk. And then all of a sudden the Mets woke up and the Padres woke up and the Dodgers, they're still injured, but have woken up to a certain degree. And the Brewers even waking up. And it's hard for me to figure out what team they actually are. That they are better than the last couple of years, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan. So that's one of the things that I think fans are trying to figure out, and I'm trying to figure out as I watch them. It's who are they?
I think everybody's trying to figure it out. And hopefully not the players. I mean, Bo has said you can't flip the switch. I don't know if maybe this team can. With the time off, with what they're doing to try and get ready for this series this weekend, maybe it happens. But I hope it does.
Do you think the time off ultimately plus or not?
I think it's a plus. I think they had a lot of guys that are banged up, that are hurting, that are playing hurt. There's a whole lot more going on, I'll bet, than we know about. And I think having those days off was huge for this team. I don't buy the days off eliminates the timing or whatever. If you're getting some swings in the in the cage and the machine and the sim games, whatever, that's fine. The Phillies were a better team than the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. They were a better team and they played better. And it wasn't. That's just an excuse. The idea that they sat out for a few days. That's just an excuse. I think this team needed the time off. I think there were a lot of guys that needed the time off. And does it mean they're going to come out and put 9 runs on the board on Saturday? Not necessarily, but they could. I just think they needed the time off. There are a lot of guys that are really grinding to the finish.
And yeah, I think Thompson, the way he was talking, was he wanted the wild card. He wanted the bye. But I think it speaks volumes that it wasn't like the biggest concern for him to be the first team, the number one team.
Right.
He said he wanted to buy to get some rest for these guys. And that speaks volumes to me that it wasn't a matter of getting home field advantage. It was getting these guys rested where they can play home and road and be healthier.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. All signs coming out of the clubhouse is that it was needed. The players feel this way. It's not like the players are like, oh, man, I wish we could have kept going. I was in a groove. I wish we were playing. They more or less felt, whether it was mental fatigue or some physical ailments there, they needed a few days to sort of reset and get their minds right for this weekend. So, and they thought about this earlier in the season, coming into the season, and I love the fact that they took offense to the Braves sort of using that as an excuse last year. So they aren't looking for an excuse. They wanted this. They want these games at home. I'm excited for that. One question I would have, we were talking about defense a little bit ago. Johan Rojas, what do you think the strategy is with him? There's a lot of talk about when you're pulling, if need be late. I think his defense is needed all 27 outs. So that's the way I look at it. But I understand if there's a moment late in the game where you may need a big hit, do you think about it then? Or do you think Topper thinks about possibly pinch hitting for him?
He will think about pinch hitting for him, and I think he'll do it a little bit earlier than maybe he did in years past.
Okay.
Everybody remembers last year, and what was it, game six or seven, and he had that spot in game seven, yeah. I know Jack remembers.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
His base is loaded in the fifth.
He thinks about it every day, yeah.
I think that's a spot where he's far quicker to make a move. Multiple reasons for that, number one being he has more options.
Okay.
He has options to cover center field. He has options to cover center and left field at the same time, and a better option to hit, you know what I mean? Like a more accomplished hitter, pinch hitter, what have you. But I think he's going to – I think Rob is going to play Rojas a bit. Now, again, he missed the last 5 days or whatever it was with an illness, and I don't know how he's feeling or what his energy level is like. I mean – I don't know about the scrimmage. You know what I mean? I know he got out there and played or whatever, but that could play into it as well. How Hayes feels could play into it as well. And, of course, the matchup on the mound will ultimately determine how he wants to go about it.
How do you think he's going to handle the bullpen? Is it he's got a ranking of the in his head, here are the guys I trust most, and I'm going to use the guy I trust most in the highest leverage situation. So if that's the seventh inning, that's when I'm going to use him. Or if that's the eighth inning, that's when I'm going to use him versus the ninth. Or do you think he thinks of Estevez as the closer and, you know, and everybody else leads up to that?
Speaking for myself, I think he trusts Hoffman more than anybody.
Yep.
Hoffman and then maybe Strom, like a 1A. And I think they get deployed based on whatever part of the lineup they feel like they're most successful against or will be most successful against. And then whatever the case might be, if that leaves Estevez for the ninth, so be it. That's just how I think it'll go.
I think he'll go to the bullpen earlier, you know, obviously than the regular season, with all of them except Wheeler. I'm not so convinced that he will go to the bullpen early with Wheeler on the mound, but with Sanchez and Nola, I believe wholeheartedly he'll definitely go earlier.
LA, from a bullpen perspective, do relievers like to know this is my spot, or is it everybody's ready all the time? Like, what's the comfort level to not exactly knowing what role you're going to be in?
I think because he's done it that way for 3 years, that I think the relievers are comfortable with being ready from the fourth, fifth inning on. When I was pitching, I certainly appreciated knowing that I was going to be pretty much the seventh or eighth inning, sometimes the sixth, but mostly the seventh and eighth. And mentally, you kind of set your structure, your routine to start thinking about it mentally, trying to get ready for that time. Today, it's just be ready, right? I mean, it's basically be ready from the get-go. And I think at first it might have been a little tougher for maybe a veteran pitcher, but for the younger guys and at this level and the way he's done it, I think they're used to it. I think they're fine with wherever the situation calls. If they see a pitcher getting in trouble, in their head they're probably going, hey, that phone could ring for me any minute. And you start getting into it more mentally.
I think what they get is, prior to the game, they go through, whether it's Topper or Caleb or whoever it is, they will say, hey, Hoffy, these are the guys you're going to get.
Yeah.
Strom, this is the part of the lineup you're likely to get. So when that when that starts to develop, and again, it's partially, you know, I mean, obviously there's a group effort of going on saying, hey, okay, we're coming around to that spot in the lineup again. Let's, you know, get your head right on thinking you're going to be coming in. It might be the fifth inning. It might be the seventh inning, whatever. But I think they're in tune with the part of the lineup, especially those really high leverage guys, with the part of the lineup that they're going to be asked to handle.
Where do you guys fall on the Sanchez or Nola game two thing? Are you worried that, you know, Nola views it as a slight that he's pitching game three? Or do you think they have a conversation with him saying, hey, we trust you in a big spot on the road. This is Chris Sanchez's first marquee start. We'd rather him be at home.
I mean, I think Nola's pretty unaffected by stuff like that. But I also think, I mean, he's a big-time guy. He probably still wants the ball in game two. And let's not forget, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Sanchez's home road splits this year. Take a look at Aaron Nola's home road splits in postseason play. He's way better at home than he is on the road. If you're gonna rely on one number, you should also look at the other number.
For sure.
And they kind of cancel each other out. You know, I think the question they probably are still even going over in their mind is, what happens if you lose game one? Who do you want on the mound in game two? Do you want Sanchez or do you want Nola? Because you might lose game one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wheeler lost 2-1 a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. What I was also thinking about was game four with Ranger, you're going to use a lot of bullpen guys, most likely.
And I agree with Larry. I mean, so let's take the argument that you use Sanchez in game two and you're more likely to go to the pen and start matching up as you go through. You're going to use the pen more on that day, the game two day, than you are the game one day. So then you get the off day. You can burn anybody in the bullpen because you know you have a day off the next day. It allows the manager to kind of get after it and start using the bullpen. So there's a whole lot to sort of weigh there. I do think there's some matchup consideration to who they're playing, but I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to land, but, like, I mean, the Sanchez ones in the regular season, the Nola ones in the postseason, they kind of fly in the face of each other.
I agree. I don't think Nola's affected. If Rob Thompson said, hey, Knowles, we want you for the third game. We want to get Sanchez a home start. I mean, Nola could probably come back and go, have you seen my record in the playoffs? How I do at home?
Do you want to see my splits?
Yeah. But he's not that type. He's like, I think a lot of these guys are very unselfish in that respect, whether they're pitching or offense or deep, whatever. I think they're playing together as a team, and I don't think they take offense to what the decisions are made. If the manager thinks that's going to be the best thing for the team, I think they're all on board with it, and that's. It's rare, I think, but I think this is a very unselfish team. I really do. And one other thing I was going to mention, too, about saying he can't flip the switch, the one thing that I think coming out here, no matter what they've done to get ready or how they're trying to stay ready, is the fans elevate this team. Yeah. They do. They have. They always have. I think playing at home, the fans make a difference. And it's like I said the last couple of years, there's home field advantage, and then there's Philly's home field advantage. And they're two different things. They really are. For the Philly fans elevate this team, and it has. Last year may be an aside, but I think they can flip. The fans help them flip the switch.
Yeah.
So, last one. There's a lot of travel in baseball. It's a long season. You get on the plane. The absolute.
Wait, who well, this is for me,
the,
right?
Well, this question in the play, must be for yeah, me. Yeah.
Hold on, he went to Toronto.
Yeah,
he went to Florida. On. You gotta factor that in.
you sit down. Who would be the one person you wouldn't want to sit next to on the plane? Who's the most annoying person on the plane?
the same guy I'm sitting next to. No. That's terrible.
So expected.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Well, we appreciate you guys coming here. You've created so many so many memories that we remember the moment, but we also remember what it sounds like, and it's part of it, and that's because of what you do on the air. Hopefully we have some more of those moments this offseason?
Yeah, I hope so. And I mean, I can just speak for myself. I mean, we've been treated wonderfully by, you know, WIP and by Odyssey and the folks, you know, you guys and all the hosts and all the people that work behind the scenes. And I could not be more excited than we're staying right here on WIP for years to come.
All right, guys.
Well, it took you 23 minutes to say that. You know,
yeah,
we gave you
that's I asked you that the first thing, and you stared at me.
Yeah. You gave us nothing.
Just wait till 4 o'clock on Saturday. You want to see nothing. I'll give you nothing.
Awesome.
So coming up next, Bryce Harper joins the show. We haven't talked to Bryce since spring training. So, and thank you, Scott. Thank you, L.A. Bryce Harper joins us next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally presented by Budweiser. Enjoy an ice-cold Budweiser during all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.